is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
How did I make it all these years? Since we're talking about God's grace, Reverend Harrison used to say the hymn of the church, a song called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If you know that, will you sing it with us, please? Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. And there you will find these words. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord on this Lord's Supper Sunday. I want to just talk for a few moments about the power of his blood. Yes. The power of his blood. Thank you, ushers. Some of you will remember I've been in the hospital three if you count, when I was born. My mother sometimes jokingly says that my father, whom we call Big Willie, Mr. Willie Garner, she says that he integrated Bird Hospital because at that time I was one of the first black babies born at Bird Hospital. And my mother said that at that time, all of the black folk would be in one room together, men, women, it don't matter what the condition, they were all lumped in one room. And when my mother was about to give birth with me, Big Willie did not like that. And my father went there, and if you knew him, you knew he was big enough to raise a little commotion. And when the commotion had been stirred, they moved my mother to a private room. And that's how I came in the world, Sister Robinson. You said not like Moses, but yeah, a little bit like Moses. Amen. All right, God bless you. But I've been in the hospital three times, counting when I was born. The last time I was in the hospital, I went, it was a church anniversary Sunday. With that in mind, let me thank everybody who worked so hard last Sunday for our church anniversary. Everything was wonderful. Thank y'all so much, all of our workers. I wanted to thank, and she's not here, but Sister Dina Stewart and the decorating committee. Y'all did a beautiful job with the decorations back there. And Brother Carbon and crew, y'all, we got the cooking this brothers, I'm telling you, they put their feet, Brother Madden back there, and Brother Douglas, and Brother Tinsley, and I said, that's the danger of calling names. Brother Stewart and whoever else was out there cooking that meat, y'all did an awesome job. Thank you. But it was one Sunday after the afternoon service of a church anniversary. I got home and got comfortable, and a pain hit me in my back. And it was an excruciating pain to the point that I knew that I needed to get to somebody's hospital. And I made my way to Bird Hospital, and I never will forget lying there in the emergency room. And my big brother came over, he was there with me, and the nurse came in, the doctor came in. And let me tell you, whenever the doctor comes in your room at the emergency room and pulls up a chair and grabs you by your hand, you might want to get a little concerned and go into prayer. But the doctor pulled the chair up and grabbed me by the hand and said, Mr. Garner, he said, we found a large mass in your chest. And he said that we don't know what it is, but we know that we are not equipped to handle it. And so you have a choice. We'll send you by ambulance wherever you want to go. And I went to Rapides and Alexandria. And it was 7 days that I was in the hospital there before they could do a biopsy to try to find out what that mass was. And after they did the biopsy, they discovered that the mass that was in my chest was what is called a hematoma, a mass of blood. And they didn't know where it came from. They just knew that it had built up there. Now, I kind of knew where it came from because I didn't go to medical school, but I sometimes play doctor. And my doctor put me on a daily aspirin, an 81 milligram aspirin. And he said that it would be real good. And I said, well, if one is good, 10 ought to be real good. But what I didn't know is that 10 baby aspirins a day was thinning my blood so much that if any little capillary or artery would break, that's how the blood got there. I didn't tell the doctors that, but amen. So my question to the doctor was, well, what's going to happen? Are y'all going to take the blood out? And the doctor said to me, no, your body will take care of the blood. Amen. Now, I didn't come this morning to talk about my blood, but I was so happy to know that my body would take care of the blood. But I've come by to remind us here at Pleasant Hill this morning that the blood of Jesus will take care of our souls. And so if you've ever messed up, if you've ever fallen short of God's goodness or his glory, you know, sometimes guilt will consume you when you sin. That's if you're really striving. Come on, if you're really trying to live right, if you're really trying to be in good standing with God whenever you mess up. Can I tell you something? If you don't feel bad when you sin, if you don't, amen, feel uneasy and uncomfortable when you make mistakes and mess up, then you probably ought to question the quality of your salvation. But where are my folk in the house who will admit that when I mess up, when I make mistakes, and sometimes it ain't a mistake, sometimes, amen, I've thought out how I'm going to do it. But when you sin and you're truly saved, something on the inside will feel uncomfortable. But I've come by on this Sunday morning to remind you that when we get ready to share in the Lord's Supper, when we get ready to partake in his body and his blood, somebody ought to be sanctified and happy, amen, to know that his blood will take care of your sin issue. We fully understand that without blood, there cannot be life in the physical body. However, the blood flowing through our veins does so much more than we actually realize. As a matter of fact, there are cures to some diseases that the doctors don't have to go outside of you to find. The diseases like leukemia and certain other diseases, amen, they're able to manipulate your own blood products, your own bone marrow and what have you to facilitate a cure in your body. That's good to know that God fixed us so that there's some stuff in us that's able to help us when we get sick. But I didn't come to talk about your blood. I didn't come to talk about my blood. I came to talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross that is able to cleanse us of our sin. And I found out in my studying, amen, that blood flows throughout the Bible, just like it flows through our veins. Somebody said that you can cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. You don't believe me? Well, in Matthew 26 and 28, Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Paul says that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Paul says in another instance that we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Peter said, "We are not redeemed with silver and gold and precious stones, but with the precious blood of Christ." Then John agreed and co-signed with Peter and Paul when he said, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." That's a good spot right there to give God praise, to know that his blood is able to cleanse you of your sin. The early church understood the power of the blood. The 22 sermons recorded by the four preachers in the book of Acts all give the same message: that he was born, that he died, and that he rose again. They understood that his death and the provision of covering by the blood was the essential ingredient to the gospel. I stop by to tell you this morning, there is power in his blood. Some of you know Reverend Garner well enough to know that when I do hospital visits or when I visit the nursing home, if they come in there and they need to hook you up with an IV, or if they need to draw blood from you, y'all know Reverend Garner's going to exit real hastily to get on the hall. Amen. I don't like the sight of blood. I don't want to see, amen, you know, because sometimes they got to stick folk two and three times and four, and I can't stand by and watch it. Amen. It's something kind of gory about the blood, but I come by to tell you this morning that the Bible paints in broad strokes the blood of Jesus on a canvas, and then in minute detail, God's word breaks it down to the cellular level, the importance of the blood of Christ. For those of you who took biology, you know that the arteries are blood vessels that carry blood from the heart to the body. And that they call that blood clean blood. But the veins are blood vessels that transport the blood from the body back to the heart. And that's mostly deoxygenated blood. Once the blood leaves your arteries and circulates through your body, through your veins, it's no longer as clean as it was at its start. The blood circulating through your veins picks up all the bad stuff. It picks up that cholesterol, and it picks up infections and viruses and all of that, and carries it, amen, through your bloodstream. But I've got some good news this morning. The blood of Christ is perfect. There are no impurities in the blood of Christ. The virgin birth of Christ establishes his righteousness. Yeah. Judas cried out, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Yeah. Paul explained, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Peter said that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. John added to that by saying, "In him is no sin." And so we can rejoice this morning because the blood of Jesus is perfect. Can I tell you also, my brothers and sisters, that his blood is pure? That's why we have grape juice and not wine. You see, wine has to go through a process called fermentation. That's why we use grape juice, because wine does not accurately depict the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. Wine is really full of bacteria. And some of y'all looking at me saying, "But it's good bacteria, Pastor." Amen. But I come by to tell you that the blood of Jesus is pure. Amen. For all that is holy, y'all know Satan always has some counterfeit. That's why, and I don't condemn anybody for using wine in their communion services. I'm just telling you why we use grape juice, because it more accurately depicts the purity of the blood of Jesus Christ. I have family members, and we have members of our church who are dealing with cancer, and some of them have to go through a process called chelation. Chelation is sort of like dialysis. Chelation is when when the body is not able to do what it's supposed to do, they take all of the blood out of the body and they run it through these machines to purify and cleanse the blood. But is there anybody who's glad to know that Jesus' blood is pure? Amen. After your blood has been purged of germs and disease and bad cells, it's then better able to work against the infections and viruses that show up in your body. The writer of Hebrews stated, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Amen. That's why we ought to serve God, not because we've been so good, not because we've done it all right, but because he paid a price for us that we couldn't pay for ourselves. Amen. I tell every preacher, that's why we preach, because we want somebody to know that Jesus' precious blood, amen, it saved me, and I got to stand flat-footed and tell you that it will save you. Choir, that's why you sing, because the same God that died on a rugged cross for your sins to bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Every time you grab a mic, every time you grace the choir stand, you ought to want to relay that message to some lost sinner, to some lost man, to some lost woman, to some lost boy, to some lost girl. You ought to want to sing in a way that they know he saves. Is there anybody here today?